I will say for the recording, good morning again, and if you're listening from home, very warm welcome. Okay, as I was saying, 2 Peter 1 verse 12 is a small portion of scripture that just made me think, and I just want to share that thought with you. It says this, Peter is going on and he's saying, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus has made clear to me." What Peter is saying here is to his audience, I know you know these things, but I think it's good to be, to allow your minds to be refreshed, to remind you. And the things that I've been sharing over the last few weeks and months are things that we're all familiar with. When we look at the armour of God, we look at the protection that he's given us. I'm sure you've heard it ministered on many times before, but it's good to be reminded, isn't it? Amen. Yes, it is. It's good to be reminded. When we go into prayer, children are working on prayer at the moment. It's good just to be reminded, because there might be something in what is said today, just one sentence, one phrase, one portion of scripture that may just be quickened to your heart to go, yes, I want to be encouraged to continue in this way. So I'm going to read from Luke 11, verse 1. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." That wasn't an unusual thing to ask a rabbi or a teacher, to teach them to pray. That was one of the things that they would ask. But Jesus said this to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" In Mark 11:22, Jesus says this, "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for you. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." When you look at that portion of scripture that Jesus was teaching to his disciples, Father, there's that relationship, isn't there? We know this. It's a heartfelt relationship, a father and his children. And we are the children of God, aren't we? So he is our spiritual, our heavenly Father, our creator. He goes on to say something else. He says, "Forgive those that have sinned against you, so that your heavenly Father may forgive you your sins." And there is something in that, isn't there, that when we go forward in this life of prayer, that if we want that connection with God, we want that relationship, then there are times, I think, that God will quicken to our hearts something that we need to lay aside and to put right, so that we can connect. So if there's something that has offended us, or we've took offence from something, or someone has said something, done something, you've read something, and we need to put it right, I think that's one of the things that we as Christians can be mindful of, because we want our hearts to be clean, don't we? We want to be in that position where we can receive forgiveness because we've given forgiveness. And we can give forgiveness because we've received forgiveness. That makes sense? Because God's forgiven us, he's given us the ability to do the hard things, to forgive those that trespass against us. But this portion of scripture here in Mark 11, it says, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe." And if we go up a bit, it says, "Don't doubt in your heart." Now when you start to look through everything that Mark says, and you get the context of everything, I don't believe personally that it's saying, if you say to that mountain, "Be moved," it will physically move. But what it does say is that the moving of the mountain is impossible for man, isn't it? But nothing is impossible for God, is it? So there's things that we can pray for that seem impossible, but they're not impossible for God. So whether it's the small things like the bread and the loaves, and we give thanks for them when we see the multiplication, or it's the big things that seem impossible. And I'm sure that we've all got testimonies of the impossible. If you don't doubt in your heart, well, just believing isn't enough to see the mountain move. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. But if God speaks to you directly into your heart, into your spirit, then he also gives you that gift of faith to believe what he said. So, and there's an example many years ago, when we were expecting our daughter Karis, there was a lot of complications, and we were told that we was going to lose her, and we was told that it was ectopic pregnancy, one in the womb and one outside. And I heard that small still voice say, "You're having a daughter." That's all it was. I just heard a small still voice in my heart, and I just said to Susan, "We're having a daughter." And I had the faith to believe we was having a daughter, even though we was told we was going to lose the child we had. And we have a daughter, and she reminds us every day of her name being Grace, because we need it. But there are times, aren't there, where we pray for things and we don't see it. But there's other times where we know that God has already answered, even though we've not seen the answer. And for me, when it says in 24, "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours," I think one of the things for me isn't that, you know, I pray for that chair to be bread and it's bread, but that I can give thanks for the answer regardless to what God says, whether it's yes or whether it's no. I like to bring this illustration on a regular basis about Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. I like what they said, and the principle, I believe, it will help us. When they was presented with the fire in front of them and they were going to be thrown in, and they were told, "If you bow down and serve us, this king, then you will be spared," they said no. Our God is able to save us. But even if he doesn't, we will still not bow down and serve you. So this portion of scripture here, the principle behind it, and when you read through the entire book here of Mark, you'll understand it more. "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you've received it." So just imagine that you're praying for someone's health, or you're praying for their well-being, or you're praying for finances, or you're praying for a loved one to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Imagine how you pray. You wouldn't pray, "Lord, they're never going to do it. Lord, they're just stubborn." You wouldn't pray like that, would you? Would you?
No.
Send me an email. You would say something maybe like, "Father, I thank you that you know my children, my neighbour, my friend, my enemy. You know their heart, Lord Father God. Soften their heart that they may receive you. Father, I thank you for your goodness will be lavished upon them." You're praying as if your prayer's been answered. Does that make sense? So when we start to look at the spiritual armour that God has given us, prayer, it's good sometimes just to have a list so that we go, "Look, I want to be persistent in this," because scripture tells us to do that at times. But there's also times where we need to leave room for that quietness and just say, "Lord, I don't know what to pray. But in my weakness, the word says that you'll give me that utterance. That, Lord, the Holy Spirit will prompt me. But I want to thank you for the answered prayers. I want to thank you for your goodness." So as we look in prayer together today, just for these few moments that we have, I just want to remind us. I think it's good to be refreshed. In Luke 11 verse 17, Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them — this is where Jesus had been casting out the demonic, and they were accusing him of being demonic himself. And his answer was this: Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can this kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons because of Beelzebub." And it goes on. The principle behind this is division. What I want to bring out from a prayer point of view isn't to preach on casting out demons, but just the principle of what Jesus has just said here. That principle about a house divided against itself cannot stand. So you imagine, if we as Christians — we're all followers of Christ, yes? Are we united on that?
Yeah.
We're all followers of Christ. So there's a unity there, isn't there? The scripture tells us where brothers, stroke sisters, dwell together in unity, there God commands a blessing. So when we come together, there's a blessing. So when we come together and we meet together, even if it's in this classroom with masks on, there's a blessing for us because we're together in unity, yes? So surely the same, the opposite is the same. If we're ununified, then we're divided. So when it comes to prayer, there are times where we can say, let's pray for, and everyone can say, amen, and the amen is let it be so. But imagine if half of you didn't agree with the prayer. There'd be disunity, wouldn't there? So when we pray together, we need to pray one for another, being unified by the Spirit of God that dwells within us. But we also can pray with one another, but we need to be unified. We need to be honest with each other, because there is a certain song that we used to sing, and I don't know if we'll sing it again. It's down to those that lead worship. It's, oh, I feel like dancing. I don't. I didn't feel like dancing. But the song told me I did. And I couldn't agree with it. And there's times where there's certain worship songs that say certain things that are not scripturally true, and I can't sing them, and I can't say the amen. So as a church, as a congregation, the more we fellowship with one another, the more we read God's word together, the more we understand the truth and the principles behind it, the more we can say amen. And there's a blessing in that. So when you pray with your loved one, when you pray with a family member at home, or if someone picks up the phone and says, can you pray with me? We need to be of faith to know that God can. It might may be something small and insignificant to you, but very significant to them. It may be something that seems impossible for you, but it's not impossible for God, is it? So we shouldn't not pray for the mountain to be moved. Because if we have faith, the Bible says, as small as a mustard seed. And it's a weakness, isn't it? It's a weakness. Lord, in my weakness, you are my strength. That's why we rely on God. So the reason for me bringing these few portions of scripture is just to remind us and encourage us of the strength that we have in unity, the strength that we have in prayer, and that nothing is impossible for God. It may be impossible for man, but it's not impossible for God. In Luke 11:28, he replied, blessed rather, there again, in the crowd, they're calling out, said, blessed is the mother that gave you birth. And Jesus replied and said, blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it. So, what does this have to do with prayer? Glad you asked. Because we're instructed, aren't we? We're encouraged to pray on all occasions. Not for all occasions, but in all circumstances, but not for the circumstances. So wherever we are, whether we're in the pit with the lion, or we're in the fiery furnace with the flames, or on the mountaintop with the glory, we are to pray. We are to pray. We are to hear God's word and obey it. So when God encourages us to pray for something, pray for someone, then we can do that, can't we? And that's where a blessing comes again. Blessed rather are those who hear the word. Scripture is quite... I had a conversation with someone just a little while ago, and we were talking about how offensive the scriptures can be. If you're not offended, there's something wrong. So I hope I offend you today. Not me, but God's word. Because don't be hearers of the word, Bible says. Be doers of the word. So there's the encouragement, isn't it? Just don't hear what I say, God says. Do what I say. That's challenging, isn't it? So even if you have the small mustard seed of faith, even if you can just go, Father, Lord, help me. And then there's someone you need to forgive, and you're in that place where you feel like your prayer's a treacle. Then one of the ways to get out of that treacle is simply to say, Lord, help me to forgive. Lord, I give this individual to you, and I pray, Father God, that you soften my heart. I remember years ago, there was a situation I kept saying to God, change that person. Lord, change that person. And then all of a sudden there was like this light bulb, and I went, Lord, change me. Lord, change me. And as he changed me, then that person saw the change and they changed. So let's not just be hearers of the word, let's be doers of the word. Let's be encouraged by these scriptures that God has blessed us with. In 2 Peter 1:3, our second and final scripture, it says this: His divine power. Now, we were talking about the power that comes from the gospel. We've been talking about the power that's in God's word. We're talking about that mighty power God's given us to be able to stand firm with the belt of truth, yes? With the breastplate, with the shield, with the shoes, with the sword, with the helmet. That's the power of God in us and through us. And we're encouraged as we come together that it's his divine power. Now, we may have natural strength. Some of us may have physical strength. Others have mental strength. We have abilities in all ways. But it's the divine power of God that enables us in our weakness to see his strength. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God called us and he's empowered us to know him better. That's what the whole purpose of the Holy Spirit is in our lives, so that we can know Christ better, to become Christ-like. He came to serve, not to be served. Verse 4, through these he has given us the goodness and the glory. He has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. It's his divine power. He's given us the promises so that we can participate in his divine nature. So we can experience the power of God in our lives. Even if it's in a weakness, we can see his strength. Even if we have a boldness, God will give us longevity. Even if our prayers are short, he will answer us. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in this world caused by evil desires. In verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort. And the word effort is exactly what it says. Sometimes it's hard work. Sometimes we have to push through. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not about being ineffective and unproductive in the things we just do on a daily basis, or our prayer life, or the things we do when God has called us to serve. We will be effective, and we will be productive in the knowledge of him. And the more we know about him, the more we can be Christ-like. Amen? And so that knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ means that we can get to that point where we can say, Father, help me. Lord, here's this situation. And we've been in church long enough now to know that there are times where we have a card or a piece of paper and we say, Lord, I'm bringing this, this and this to you. But we also have had an opportunity where someone rings up, sends an email, and they just go, help. And we go, what do we do? Lord, I'm giving this to you, and I'm going to ring someone else and help them, ask them to help me to give it to you too. Because where that unity is, there's going to be a blessing. And Lord, I want this person to be blessed. Lord, they don't know you, but I want you to move in their lives because you're a gracious God. Lord, they're struggling. They're your child and they're struggling. Father God, I thank you that your word doesn't say that we won't have pain. Actually, the Bible says that we will have trial and we will have tribulation. But the Bible also says, praise be to the Lord. He's given you the strength to endure. He won't give you more than you can bear. So we can pray in a way that will bring a blessing to them and a blessing to us because we're in unity with others. I hope that makes sense. So we want to be effective, not ineffective in our knowledge of Jesus Christ. But it says in verse 9, but whoever does not have them, they're nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. That's why it's important to know Christ, to know what he's done in our lives, to be of a forgiving nature, so that the forgiveness of God can permeate right through our very being. In verse 10, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And when we talk about standing and standing firm, it's that stance, isn't it? Stand and then stand firm. So when the enemy can't push you over. A story that I look back on now, and I found it, as a young Christian, I went to a meeting, and this preacher was preaching, and he was saying that you can receive this blessing from God. And there were some strange things happening. And me being naive in my mind, I'm talking about not wanting to stumble and standing firm. I'm somebody that stands firm. And I thought, well, this person could push me over, so I'm going to make sure he doesn't. So I stood firm. And he put his hand on my head, and no matter how much he pressed, I pressed back. And I was standing firm because I didn't want to stumble. Within about 5 minutes of him leaving, I was a mess on the floor in floods of tears. You see, I didn't need man to push me down, did I? But the Spirit of God came upon me. But I was standing firm. I wasn't going to stumble because I knew his word. I understood his word. And I understood what it was to be blessed by him too. So I won't rule anything out if it's God. So we won't stumble if we understand these things, Peter says. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom. And that's something that we always need to have in mind of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He's coming back, isn't he? He's coming back for a victorious church. So the scripture I started with, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and you're firmly established in the truth. You know these things. But I think it is right to refresh your memory, Peter says, as long as I live in the tent of this body. It's okay to remind each other. You see, the Bible is plagiarized all the time, isn't it? We quote scripture upon scripture. As I look through my Bible, I can see that there's multitudes of scriptures I've never even ministered on. There's multitudes of things that I see in a fresh way because I'm open to be refreshed and to have my memory encouraged. So as Peter says to his audience, can I say to ours here, let's just be refreshed in our memory. Let's just be refreshed of the things that we know and we're firmly established in, so we don't take them for granted. Because so often, the very thing that we know, when we need it, sometimes we don't use it. So often we've heard about the sword of the Spirit. We know the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And then we come up against a demonic activity, or we come up against an enemy trying to infiltrate our mind or our physicality, and we forget to use God's word. It is written, God says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written that I am the head and not the tail. It is written that I am more than a conqueror. And there are things where we may feel weak, but Lord, in you I am strong. We can use his word, and in prayer we can do the same thing. We can come to him. We can come to him. And we can ask him to do the small and the big, to move the molehill and the mountain. For in 2 Corinthians 1:20, my final scripture, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes. Something that I emphasize in this scripture, let me read it to you and just emphasize it because it's important. It actually links up with some of the things we've been saying about prayer and unity. For no matter how many promises God has made, the promises he's made to us as people, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, Christ, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. See, the promises are yes, but we're the ones that say Amen. The promises are there, but we need to accept them. God says, I want to bless you. Amen. I receive that. Let it be so according to your plan and purpose. I want to heal you. Amen. Let it be so according to your plan and purpose. I want to prosper you. Amen. Let it be so according to your plan and purposes. I want to use you as an instrument to pray in the mercies and the goodness for your associate, your friend, your family member. Amen. Let it be so. So God's promised us, but he's not given us these promises so that we can just take them for granted. He's given these promises so that we can receive them, say amen, and give God the glory. Amen. Now, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm. It's God who makes us stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, verse 22, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his spirit in our hearts, a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. How much more encouragement do we need to come before him on a daily basis and pray in the circumstances of life when they happen, and pray to say, Lord, this seems impossible, but I pray for this mountain to move in Jesus' name. Lord, you promised never to leave me or forsake me. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you that it's impossible for man, but it's not impossible for God. Lord, I thank you that you created me, that you established me, that you abide in me, that Father God, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Lord, thank you that I've been forgiven and you've given me the ability to forgive others. So prayer is what we're talking about. There's been a number of scriptures that I've brought before you, and hopefully you can see the link that comes in there, that we pray first of all, Father, with that relationship. We also say, Lord, reveal if there's anything in me that I need to put right. Lord, help me to put it right, because I don't want there to be a disconnect. Lord, I can bring you the big and the small, because it might not be possible for man, but it's not impossible for you. So Lord, I bring the molehill and I bring the mountain. Lord, I stand firm because of your word in my life. And Lord, I thank you that I'm your child and that you're coming back for me. So let's close in prayer. And if you want to pray something yourselves, if you want us to pray with you for something, I'll turn the tape off so it's not recorded. And we can take these few moments and pray for each other. Or if there's a situation you want us to join in unity with, then just raise your voice and we'll say amen, if we believe the prayer to be true. Yes? But let me just close for our service. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to share with your people. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity, Father God, to read your word, because we know it's sharper than a two-edged sword. So Father, encourage us to pray when we feel we can pray, and to pray when we feel we can't. Encourage us this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, and more people said, Amen. Amen.